is Kenya, and welcome to my magical cottagecore life. Got a bit of a cough today, so my voice is going to sound a little different, but I'm still here, and I'm still kicking. You know, I'm kind of in the mood for something sweet. It's been a minute. We've had savory, so let's try something sweet, and I kind of would like to do something a little international. One of the things that I found that the world over people seem to like are dumplings. Now, we use dough dumplings, but there are all kinds of dumplings, and they have different names for dumplings. So, just because they don't call it a dumpling in their language doesn't mean it's not a dumpling. Although, technically, if it's in their language, wouldn't it still be a dumpling because it's their word for dumpling? I don't know. I think the cold is getting to me a little bit. I may have to drink some more tea to warm up my brain. But I will say this. I would like you to warm up your fingers and turn those pages when you open up your big book of stuff today. Because today, we're going to make Ukrainian cherry vareniki. Let's get started. So why did I want to make dumplings other than wanting something sweet, especially when the sour cherry ones are going to be sour? I mean, seriously. But why? Because we have a moon, we have an eclipse coming up, a moon eclipse coming up, a sun eclipse coming up. It's going to be so cool. The moon and the sun are going to do this weird thing, and I'm excited. And it just put me in the mood for something along that line. And one of the things these dumplings, this particular style of dumpling is known as, it's known as a half moon dumpling. So when I was thinking, I was like, what makes me think of a moon and this sweet? And that's why we're going to talk about that today. So these are half moon dumplings, but they're also something else. Now, the thing is, you know I never do anything just the way that they want me to do it. And traditionally, we would make this with sour cherries. And that's what we're going to do today. But I don't think I have as many sour cherries as my family's going to want. So I'm going to double this recipe. And I'm going to make the first batch the traditional way. And then I'm going to make a second batch, but the second batch is going to have mulberries because I have some frozen mulberries and I'm going to use those. But I'm also going to add just a little bit of blackberry. So it'll be a mulberry blackberry mix. So it'll be more like a dumpling that is a little bit different than what you would normally see in this. So I'm just going to be honest with you. I think that this will be something that's unique to our house. Unless you do it too. Because, yeah, I just need to do this. I need to make my own spin on it. But I do like the traditional cherry as well. I'm not a big fan of farmer's cheese, though. And I can't tell you why. I know it's supposed to be good. But it's just, the sweet cheese just, it doesn't do it for me. When you make a pierogi, so I wouldn't make the vareniki with the sweet cheese either, but you know, because that would be cool, like cherry cheese, but it's not gonna work for me. So we're just gonna go traditionally, like the traditional recipe, and then we're also gonna make my version. So here we go. Let's talk about what you need. So to start off, you're going to need an egg. And since we're doubling the batch, remember to double everything I'm telling you. But keep in mind that when you use eggs in recipes like this, any kind of dough, you want the egg to be room temperature. Another thing, don't use a giant egg. don't use those extra large eggs. Use an average egg. Use a medium egg. If you have to, you can use a large one. But please don't use these gigantic eggs. It does actually change the taste of the product. It really does. But use what you have. If all you have are giant eggs, then go right ahead. But maybe add a little bit extra of the flour and a little bit extra of the other stuff. But I really don't like an eggy taste. So, you know, act accordingly. If you can get duck eggs, go for it. I mean, even though they're a little larger, it'll be more robust and more rich in the flavor. It'll still be a little eggy, but it won't be like these processed eggs and these gigantic eggs you get in the store. If you can get fresh eggs, even better. But again, the egg should be room temperature because you want to be nice and warm. And you're going to need some flour. If you are gluten-free, you'll have to substitute spelt. It's up to you. You know, there are ways to substitute spelt flour for regular flour. If you can't use either one, you could use a different flour. But I can't really tell you what will work with your body. So you're going to need 3 cups of flour. You're going to need a little bit of salt. Just a little bit. So have the salt nearby. You will also need some vegetable oil. If you'd like canola oil, that's fine. But you could also use a sunflower oil. And that would be the oil that I would recommend for this particular recipe. It's actually more along the line of what you'd expect, right? You know, and from that region. Sunflowers. I'm not going to make this a political podcast because we don't get into that here, but yeah, sunflowers. If you know, you know. You'll also need a cup of hot water, and the hot water in this case is being used as a tool more so than an ingredient. That is to say, it makes everything come together. Now, this water should be very, 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 very hot. But you're also gonna want a little bit of water in another cup on the side, and that will be used as a different tool. That'll be used to help seal the dough together a tiny bit if you need to. So, this is not a really complicated recipe. Honestly, it's very easy. It's very simple. But when you have recipes that are very easy and very simple, that's when you get into the danger area because you start to mess with it. Don't mess with the recipe. It's fine like it is. If you must, you can also have cornstarch on hand, but you don't have to. It really depends on how well you can get the liquid out of the cherries. And we'll talk about that now. Now, cherries are juicy. We know cherries are juicy. They have a lot of liquid. And because of that, they tend to, when you're baking with them, leach out a lot of the juice. And because of that, it's very important that you take the time to kind of basically, when you're pitting them, to squeeze it out if you're going to make this recipe right away. I picked a lot of cherries last year with my husband. I picked the sweet cherries. I picked some sour cherries. I picked some mid between the both cherries. And because of that, I have different flavor profiles. But one thing they all share is they're all very juicy. No, we did not pick bird cherries. Our bird cherry tree, unfortunately, is not the kind that you would bake a pie out of or anything. When we bake with these cherries, when I bake with them, there's just red dye everywhere. It almost looks as if someone took cherry juice and finger painted all over the pastry. So I have to make sure I squeeze all of the juice out as best that I can without destroying the cherry. So that's what I would recommend. Another thing is that, because you don't want to ruin your pastry. Another thing that I need to point out is that once you squeeze that stuff out, you know, you don't want to completely destroy it, but you squeeze it out. A tiny bit of cornstarch also can help absorb that liquid that would tend to leach out and run everywhere. Interestingly enough, one of the reasons when you get the chocolate covered cherries, there's that filling. I always thought they were putting in a cream until I started cooking. That's actually the cornstarch. That's actually the cornstarch, and it's catching the cherry juice that would have come out. So for this recipe, you need about a pound. So to start this recipe off, I want to remind you, before we get way into it, that we're making another filling. I'm going to be making a blackberry mulberry mix. And again, I picked those last year, so I've got them ready to go. You may not have them ready. It's up, you know, it's okay if you don't. I just want to use what I have here. So I'm kind of like messing around a little bit in the kitchen. But again, they're very juicy. And the thing about mulberries, when you pick them, you wash them, you freeze them, they too are full of juice. So one of the things I'm going to have to do is rinse it off. It's got a specific kind of taste and a specific kind of mouthfeel. Same thing with the blackberries. So because blackberries are so seedy, I would recommend mashing them through a sieve to not have the seeds come out if that's a problem for you. If you don't mind having the seeds, it's better if you can keep them whole. And for this particular recipe, I would say one blackberry and two one mulberry, because it'll be just the right flavor profile. If you push them through a sieve, though, you're going to have to measure things out. So for the amount of that, I would push the mulberries and the blackberries through the sieve, and that way I'd have my filling. I put a tiny pinch of cornstarch in there and then mix it up. And then for the filling into the actual dumpling, I'd probably use my half teaspoon scoop measuring scooper and put that in there for the filling. And that should be just enough. For our dumpling dough, we're going to start off with our egg. I know usually you start with the dry ingredients, but not in this recipe. You're going to put a little bit of salt with the egg, a pinch, and you're going to mix it up. Beat it up together, get it well blended. Remember, it's room temperature, shouldn't be that hard. And make sure it's whipped up really, really well. Once that's all done, you can add your flour. Blend it together, get it nice and completely wet as best you can with the egg, and only then add a cup of hot water, super, super hot water. I've seen recipes where they say the water should be boiling. I'm not doing that. Just super hot water. And because I need to be able to not cook. I know it won't cook the dough, but for my peace of mind, I don't want to work with that. Plus, I have a daughter and I don't want her to burn herself. Even though she's old enough not to burn herself, we're kind of a little bit clumsy. I don't want to take a chance. So super hot water, and then mix it all together. And when you're mixing it, you can use a spoon or a pastry spoon specifically, or a fork, and then just get it going. As it goes through the dough, it will cool down. Once it cools down, you know, as you're mixing it, and you'll be able to tell, it'll make the shaggy looking dough. And once you get to the shaggy looking dough stage, you're almost all the way there. Then you're going to mix, you're going to actually pull it out with your hand in that bowl and start kneading it together until it gets a nice, nice, smooth consistency. Roll it out because we're about to make our dumplings. Now, once all that's done, you're going to need a little bit more flour. I know I said only 3 cups, but when you're baking, you still need flour for the surface where you're rolling it out. So put the flour on the surface of a cutting board or your table or wax paper, and just lightly flour it. You don't need a lot. And you're going to start rolling out your dough. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have a large surface. So I cut my dough in half. especially since I'm doubling this recipe. So I cut it into manageable pieces. Don't feel you have to make the whole thing in one big sheet. Who are you trying to impress? I'm impressed that you're trying this at all. And besides, we do things because it brings us happiness and joy, not for somebody else's approval. So take out as much as you can handle, because sometimes we can't handle a lot of dough at once. Roll it out well, pretty thinly. I would say anywhere between 1/8 of an inch to 1/4, depending how confident you are in your dough. And honestly, though, you do want it to be relatively thin. You want it to be relatively thin. And then you're going to cut it with a water glass. Now, here's the thing. If you have a round dumpling cutter, you're already there. But if not, just use a water glass. If you want them to be super tiny, because you've basically cut up your cherries into pieces, which would be different, you can use demitasse cups. And actually, that would be a pretty good size. But if not, just a regular glass like you would use on the table, like a juice glass, should be fine. And then you're going to cut those out, and that way you'll have your dumplings. You can even stack them. But if you do stack them while you're cutting them, keep in mind, you want to put a little flour in between or else they'll get stuck together. And never stack them directly on top of each other when you're doing that. Always put them a little bit to the side. Again, you don't want them to stick together. I really want to stress not to forget your dough, not to let your dough meld together after you cut the pieces, because you really don't want to keep rolling. Another thing is, once you cut everything out, take that dough that's left over and then you mix it together and you make more. You make more of the little bitty sheets of dough to cut out from. When you're all the way down to the last little bit of dough you can use, then just push it down with the bottom of the glass and make it as round as you can so that you don't waste anything, because dough is important. It's food. It's important to not waste. I love dough. Maybe that's because I'm a dough girl. Okay, listen. That joke sailed over most of you. I'm going to tell you why it's a joke. I went to Pershing High School, General John J. Pershing, and we were the mighty marching doughboys. And if you were a woman, you were a dough girl. So I'm a dough girl. We even had a song, you know, we had a little chant in our band. Wouldn't you like to be a dough boy? Wouldn't you like to be way up high? How would you like to be a dough boy? How would you like to be way down low? Okay, all right, that's a long time ago. And we even had a fight song. March on Pershing, stretch your stuff. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Enough down the memory lane. But our colors were yellow and blue, which, you know, they weren't the same blue and yellow as Ukraine, but it was blue and gold. Most of my schools throughout my life have been blue and gold. So I guess it's a theme with me, blue and gold and dough. Who knows? But yeah. Make sure you don't waste any of your dough. Okay, so now we're getting ready to make our dumpling. We've got everything cut out. Everything's ready to go. We've got our other water on standby. And the reason you have the other water on standby is because you're going to have to stuff the dumpling with your filling and fold it over and seal it by pressing it with the tines of a fork. But sometimes, you have to put a little bit of water on the edge of the dumpling on one side to help it seal. That's what the other water is for. You dip your finger in the water and lightly put the faintest line of water, just the tiniest amount of water, on the one side of the dumpling edge, usually the bottom edge, that's going to be folded onto by the top edge, and then you seal it together that way. Again, you're only going to put one cherry. If you're worried about them leaking, you can always, you know, put a little bit of cornstarch on them for the filling, and then you know, just a tiny dusting, not a lot, not a lot, because that will not give you the result you think it will. Do not overcoat these. And then you're going to fold it over and seal it. If you're using the blackberry mulberry filling, I do recommend you use a little cornstarch, because I don't want that completely dry. I want a little bit of that juice in there, because it's a juicy kind of berry. So just a tiniest bit of cornstarch. If you are worried about them not being sweet enough, then I have to ask you, what are you doing? It's got its own flavor. It'll be fine. The fruit are sweet. But the mulberries, you have to be careful, because some mulberries aren't sweet. So you kind of like, you're on your own on that. But hopefully you only pick the sweet ones. Next thing you're going to do is you're going to need a pot of boiling water, and you're going to put in your dumplings, maybe no more than 3 or 4 at a time, depending on how large your pot is. You don't want to overfill your pot. It is not going to go well if you overfill that pot, I promise you. Just put them in, let them boil. They will begin to float at a point. Don't overcook your dumpling. Cook it till it's done. I know that's a weird direction, but in this particular case, I can't express enough. You have to watch your dumpling. You will be able to tell when it's done. You will be able to tell, but it shouldn't be longer than 5 minutes. It really shouldn't. Then take your dumpling out and put it on a plate. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. If you have something else to set it on, like parchment paper or wax paper, even better. But again, once it's done, let it alone. Just put it down on the plate, leave it alone. You're going to go through this process a lot, making all these dumplings. Understand that the water will get cloudy. That's fine. It's absolutely fine. You don't have to change the water over. You may have to add water, but you don't have to change it over. And then let the dumplings cool. Do not necessarily lay them on top of each other. Sometimes, if you're not careful, and if you haven't cooked them quite well enough, they could get a little stuck together, but hopefully they won't. And there's birds singing outside my window. Excuse me. Still a little cough there. But this is going to be great. Don't overthink it. Just get into the rhythm and it'll be perfect. Now you're going to notice I did not mention cherries with sugar in this whole episode so far. I didn't mention sugar at all. And there's a reason for that. The reason I didn't mention sugar is because I'm giving you a healthy version. But you can definitely make these with sugar. You could actually put 1/4 teaspoon of sugar on top of each cherry filling in the dumplings. Usually using 2 cherries, depending on how big they are. It's usually 2 cherries per dumpling, but you can add about 1/4 teaspoon of sugar if you want to. I'm not saying you can't, and I've probably put like a little bit of lemon juice. So measure out how many dumplings you have and add about 1/4 teaspoon per each dumpling, and then just mix it all together with your cherries before you put them into the dumplings as filling. I left the sugar out for a reason. Not everybody can have sugar. Not everybody wants super sweet dumplings. Some people love sweet dumplings. These are supposed to be sour, so it's up to you. You can, you know, boil it down and use an actual cherry filling if you want to make these sweet. I'm not telling you you can't, but in this particular recipe, I deliberately did not add sugar. So it wasn't your imagination. There was no sugar added. But I will say this, if you do that, you might want to put a tiny splash of lemon juice to the pot when you're cooking these down and adding the sugar to the cherries to get them ready before you put them in as filling. Same thing with the blackberries. You can add a little bit of sugar if you want. I like the natural taste of the fruit, but it's not going to hurt you to add a little sugar. But if you have people who can't have a lot of sugar, then this treat would be better for them without the sugar. But I'm not the boss of you. You do what you like. To me, my friends are sweet enough. So you're probably wondering, do you just eat them plain? What do you serve them with? Do you fry them? Please don't fry them. Please don't fry them. Please don't fry them. I'm from Detroit. We fry everything. Please don't fry them. Leave them alone. Just eat them like they are. Don't fry them. And even though I said that, I guarantee you somebody on 7 Mile is going to fry these dumplings. I promise you. They're going to boil them and then they're going to fry them because that's what we know. But I hope you know. Please give them a chance without frying them first. Please. Now, what are you going to dip them in? You can dip them in the sour cream. And I used to not like sour cream because the concept of cream that went sour bothered me. But no, you can dip them in the sour cream. It'll be delicious. You can dip them into sweet cream. It'll be delicious. You can even dip them into cream cheese, the honey cream cheese, with a side of the dried ginger. And it would be delightful. It's up to you. I personally think that my friends have diverse palates, so you might want to try them all. And we're friends, right? Once you make these, let me know how your dumplings came out. I love to hear from you. Those messages that I get into my inbox are keeping me going. That's one of the reasons you're getting more episodes and more frequently than I have been, because you all, your messages of hope, your condolences, your uplifting words are what makes life worth living along with my family right now. And the love and the support really means a lot. So I'm going to do my best to give us more time together. And I look forward to spending more time again with you next time here on my magical Cottagecore Life.